a strange summer for many travel and tourism groups, as the warm weather across the UK and World Cup football encouraged some would-be travellers to stay home. I'm Julia Forshaw, and on this episode of Boardroom Talks, I'm joined by Daniel Koss, Chief Financial Officer at PPHE Hotel Group, to discuss today's interim results and the outlook for the sector. So PPHE strikes this balance between being a hotel operator and a property company. So can you just start off with explaining to our listeners how this sort of owner-operator structure works?
Yeah, sure. So at PPHE Hotel Group, we indeed create shareholder value through two ways. First of all, we buy property and we own property and we develop it ourselves. And we operate it. So this combined model will give shareholders a return both in cash returns on our profits and on value appreciation.
And you reported your interim results today for the 6 months to the end of June. And so what are you hoping that investors will take away from today's update?
We used to report our normal metrics like revenue and EBITDA, and we report a 5% revenue growth and a 1.7% EBITDA growth. More importantly, what we started reporting from this June onwards is the indicators on our real estate business. So this is our EPRA NAV, which is the asset value per share, and the basically the cash earnings we do with our assets. So those two new indicators are quite interesting, I think, if you want to look at the real estate angle of our business. So we reported today a £24.21 EPRA NAV per share and a EPRA earnings of 1.08.
All right. Anything else that you feel like were sort of particular highlights over the period?
Yeah. So since we're quite a large asset-heavy company, we also love to invest a lot in our assets. So over the past period, we've been heavily investing in upgrading our portfolio and in building new hotels. And you see that in the results at the moment because a lot of rooms are off. So I think what's quite exciting is that we will enter now a year wherein we'll open a lot of new rooms and then that will hopefully give a boost to our results. We've been quite busy over the past 6 months and we're quite optimistic over how the remaining 6 months look.
Mm-hmm. And you've been spending quite a lot on refurbishing existing sites and on recent acquisition. And so do you feel like you're getting a sufficient return on capital, sort of what you were hoping for when you set out on this?
Yeah, sure. Before we enter into an investment, we obviously first do an analysis whether the yields make sense. So we typically have a targeted return for reconfigurations and a targeted return for new investments. And up to now, they've been paying off exactly how we wanted this. So obviously, the major investments were done over the past 2 years, so they still need to mature. But up till now, it's going according to plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have any more acquisition plans perhaps over the next half of the year?
Well, we have an excess cash position of £200 million. We do have funds available for further growth. So we want to invest in our current portfolio and upgrade that even further. And we're on the lookout for new deals throughout Europe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing that you spent a decent amount of money on in this set of results is this interim dividend increase by 45% to 16p per share. So what do you kind of feel like you're trying to signal to investors with such an increase? And do you feel that such a large dividend increase is sustainable going forwards?
Yeah, so we started paying dividends in 2012. And back then we announced that we would have a progressive dividend policy just in line with our results and the cash flows of the operations. And we as a board believe in our business model and in the cash it's generating currently. So we're paying a significant addition to last year's interim dividend because we believe in the business model and the cash it generates. So if you see the percentage of the EPRA earnings we're paying out, I think it's still prudent. And you know, we believe we can sustain that dividend, yes.
Mm-hmm. And on the sort of property end of the company, do you have any concerns perhaps about Brexit coming through and the fears that property, especially in London surrounding area, might get substantially cheaper and the impact that would have on your portfolio?
Well, the problem with Brexit at the moment is that we just don't know what's going to happen. Is it a hard Brexit, soft Brexit, or if there even is a Brexit? So we, as a hospitality industry, we're quite agile, so we're quite adaptive. We've been in this industry now for 30 years, and we've seen a couple of crises, terrorist attacks, and all that sort of things. We've been able to survive throughout. The things that we now at this moment prepare for is making sure that we have good funding for our assets. And we recently refinanced our whole portfolio in the UK, making sure that the first coming 8 years, we do not need new financing on our existing properties. And the other side is that we are heavily investing in retaining our workforce and making sure that we have employees available, because they are our largest asset, really, in the hotels.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned kind of previous, I suppose, so-called disasters like terrorist attacks and such. And I suppose Brexit's different because you can kind of see it coming. You might not know the details yet, but you sort of have an idea of what the situation's going to look like. And so how has this changed your preparation for such thing, or how you're dealing with it?
Well, if Brexit is going to be a very soft one and borders will stay open for traveling public like tourists and business people, that's a completely different situation than when you have a hard Brexit and people need to request visas, for instance, to get into the country. So in that aspect, that's what we're saying. Like, you know, we really need to know what's coming. We know something is coming, but we need to know what's coming to prepare for it. So we feel protecting our assets in terms of funding, protecting our operations in terms of getting employment. Those are the two most important factors, and we keep focusing on that. And for the rest, we'll see what's coming. And I'm confident that we'll be able to deal with it. On the side, we are exposed to the UK for 55%, so 45% of our business is outside of the UK. So we are quite diverse in that respect.
Mm-hmm. If it was perhaps a hard Brexit scenario, would you look at maybe developing that existing 45% to perhaps be a larger part of the portfolio?
I think that would be a bit preliminary to say at this point.
Mm-hmm. No, fair enough. And PPHE operates towards the more premium end of the market with brands like Park Plaza. So do you have concerns, even in the near term, about some downturn in the UK economy and limits on possibly on discretionary spending, like a hotel stay, or perhaps discouraging business travelers from coming to the UK?
Well, at this point in time, we obviously, in our industry, we carefully look at demand. And demand comes from within the UK and from outside of the UK. At this point in time, we are very confident on the second half of the year. We actually saw that thanks to the Brexit, the sterling decreased, and it led to a very large influx of European tourism. And nowadays, with the pound even lower, it even leads to a lot of tourism from inbound UK, because going to Europe is just more expensive. So at this point in time, we look at this quite optimistic, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And London is quite a particularly competitive market for hotels. And so what have you been doing to ensure profitability there?
Yeah, so we are particularly on the South Bank at this point. We have 2,500 rooms from the South Bank. And if you look at our product, we tend to invest in a bit larger rooms that you would usually see. So we the share of in our portfolio of studio rooms, which can host a full family versus just having a large room, is quite large. And I think that offering, together with destination restaurants and very big conference facilities, makes us a bit unique in the city. So we'll have our own demand, so to say.
Mm-hmm. And the company recently transferred from a standard to a premium listing in London. So what are you hoping to achieve by this change?
Yeah, so 10 years ago, we first listed on the AIM. And since then, we've grown our business quite dramatically. We have 1.6 billion in assets right now. And we felt the move up to the premium reflected the maturity of the company. We hope to reach a wider investor base. We have aspirations to somehow come up in the FTSE Index series. And that's really the purpose why we did this. Mm-hmm. We feel it fits the maturity of the company at this stage.
And a number of other kind of travel and tourism operators that have been reporting in recent weeks have been saying that they've been hurt quite badly by this unusually warm weather in the UK and the World Cup football, just encouraging people to stay home instead of going somewhere. And so I know these results were to the 30th of June, so not the full summer period. But since post-period end, have you noticed any?
Yeah, I can actually tell you the opposite. The warm weather in London, together with the Farnborough Air Show that we had in London, actually made us have a very good July. Even STR, which is kind of the benchmark in the industry, is saying that July was quite good, and we're experiencing exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. And that's is that specifically in London or throughout the rest of the portfolio as well?
So throughout London, that's the case. If you look at the other areas, so we are in Amsterdam and in Germany and Croatia. Croatia reached the finals, so we saw a large influx because of that. Because you know Croatia actually, thanks to the finals, now became on the map. In Amsterdam, we experienced a very strong first half, and we see that trend continuing, and same in Germany, actually. So, no, we didn't see anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Croatia, in the results, you talk about this new glamping product that's launched there. So can you explain to some of our listeners who perhaps might not know what that is?
Yeah, so we obviously invest in hotels, of which we have 38, but we also have 8 campsites. And campsites from a property business, from a yield perspective, are very interesting. So what we did in Croatia, we have 8 campsites that are quite basic, just camping, three-star product. And what we did in Croatia, we basically turned one of the campsites into a full glamping offer, which means we have a 4 or 6 person tent, air conditioning, bathrooms, just a proper bed with 5-star linen on it. There's an outdoor spa. Everything is sea view. So with that, we basically created from a campsite a mini hotel, so to say, with 200 different entrances. From a yield perspective, that's really interesting for us because previous in a season for a pitch, you could ask like 40 euros per pitch per night, whereas now in the high season, they go for above 200 euros a piece.
Hmm. Pitch. And in terms of customer base, do you feel like you're targeting someone who would already be staying at a Park Plaza, or is this sort of a new...
Well, you see, yeah, you see, it's really glamping is a real experience. I would say it's probably attracting a different type of public that would usually sleep in a hotel, but it's also not the public that you would usually host on a regular campsite. So it has all the facilities of a hotel, but you still sleep in canvas, so to say. So it has kind of the outdoor feel, but with a good luxury to it.
Interesting option. Well, that's great. Well, thanks for your time. And that's all we have time for today. But for more Boardroom Talks podcasts, head to the Investors Chronicle website, iTunes, or Acast. Thank you for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.